T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Created a lot of chances and shots, and you know, I barely made a save, and it was 2-0. So, I really wanted to make one of those saves. Didn't, but we tried to battle back, and they're a tough team to beat when they have the lead.
Tuukka, how much do you think officiating played into this series?
They were good. It was good. You know, calls, they go both sides, so, yeah. Can't blame the ref at this point.
The pressure, you know, this is the first game 7 in Boston in 35 years. You think that would that weigh in at all? Did you guys start feeling it when it was 2-0 there?
You know, I think you're playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the finals, and there's always pressure. I don't think it mattered to us that, you know, we were home. It definitely didn't look like it. We played a good first period, but, you know, when you're down 2-0, you try, and nothing goes through, then, you know, it's, what can you do? That's how it goes sometimes, and I don't think it was pressure.
Did this have the feel of game 5 to you? Like, you guys put on a lot of pressure getting first period, and they couldn't beat Binnington, and then...
Yeah, it was kind of the same, same feel to it. You know, it was a nightmare for me, obviously, you know, barely didn't make a save in the first, and you know, we tried to create, we had good chances, and you know, he made the saves when they needed, and that's what you want to do when you're on the road. So
are you telling yourself at that point after the first period, just get one more goal, you know, just get a goal, get yourself back into the game, things like that?
That's what we were hoping for. That we wanted to do, we wanted to make it a one goal game and create something, get the crowd into it, but like I said, they're a tough team to beat when they have the lead, so there was not a whole lot there.
On that second goal at the end of the first period, there seemed to be some miscommunication there, or guys trying to go for a change?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't see it.
I
tough to say because I haven't seen the replay yet, so you probably saw better than I did.
All right, that's Tuukka Rask after the game tonight. If you want to hop on board, weigh in on your Bruins losing, 617-779-7937 is the number. Can't imagine how he's feeling right now. You heard him, soft-spoken. He always gives you what he's thinking. That's the one thing you can say about Tuukka. We always ask our athletes to, like, give us something. He will tell you exactly what he's thinking. And clearly, it was a situation after this one where he felt like he left his team down, or let his team down, I should say. He didn't. Now, the one thing you could point to is maybe the Pietrangelo goal, right? Maybe the Pietrangelo goal, he could have made a play on that, because if he makes that play on that after what had happened with Marchand just inexplicably looking for a line change in that situation because he was exhausted, it's 10 seconds left in the period. Okay, stay on the ice and make sure Pietrangelo doesn't get a breakaway opportunity, if you will. If he makes that save right then and there, then you give some life to this team, right? Because then you go into the dressing room with that save that Tuukka makes. So that's the only one you can really look back at. The O'Reilly goal, what are you going to do with that one, right? There's nothing you're going to do. And once it's 2-0, the air went out of the building, and really the energy from the Bruins was zapped. It was completely zapped. And you know, when you go down 2-0 to this Blues team, you've been dealing with it throughout this series. When you go down against this team, it's almost impossible to come back. That's how good this Blues team is defensively. They have dominated you with their size. And if you look at your top guys, Brad Marchand, for example, he couldn't do anything with Parayko in the series, couldn't do anything with Pietrangelo in the series. So you know right then and there, you go down 2-0. It is a death blow. That was the knockout punch, and the Blues delivered it at the end of the first period after you had been playing particularly well for the bulk of that first period. You had a ton of opportunities, and you weren't able to cash in. That's what you're going to look back at. Marchand having that shot on the power play where half the net is open, doesn't pull the trigger quick enough, and doesn't accurately place the puck where he wants to place it. And you allowed Binnington to get into a groove. There was an opportunity early in this game where he allowed a couple of juicy rebounds. At one point, Corrali was unable to put the puck in the back of the net off a rebound. Krejci had an opportunity to put one in. He couldn't put one in. So you had plenty of opportunities early on in this game. Pastrnak, my God, I mean, the guy whiffed on two One-timers. Unbelievable. He's supposed to be the guy that is great with that, right? And he couldn't convert in those situations. And you just look at it as this series progressed and as this series went on, you started to feel like the Bruins were playing with fire, because anytime the Blues got a lead in the series, they just completely took things over. And the Bruins were never able to really generate any sort of comeback in this series, right? When they were down, they couldn't really figure out a way to come back. And it's because the Blues defense was significantly better than the best players on the Bruins. They outplayed you. And not to mention the fact that the Blues stars, if you will, the Vladimir Tarasenkos of the world, especially Ryan O'Reilly, those guys had a bigger impact on the series. And this team is going to look back at this, and it's going to be a missed opportunity, not only for this organization, but now going forward, because everything's set up for you perfectly with Washington going down, with Tampa going down. This was your opportunity to cash in, and you couldn't do it. And there was too many times early in the series where you let games get away. Now, I would say the Blues outplayed you in game two that they won, but you let Binnington off the hook. In that game, you only put 23 shots on Binnington, and both the goals you scored in that game, when you look at Coyle's goal and you look at Nordstrom's goal, both those goals were softies, and you did not test Binnington nearly enough in that game, and you allowed Binnington, as the series progressed, to get into a groove. And every time that this guy was challenged, he was able to bounce back. That's the one thing you give Binnington a ton of credit for. You think about it. Last game, he did not play well. Bounces back tonight. You look at game three, the game where the Blues were completely out of character. He plays terrible, gets into it with Tuukka Rask during a television timeout, and what happens then? He's able to bounce back in that particular scenario as well. So Binnington, for as bad as he played in a couple of these games, always was able to bounce back. And the Bruins never really found their footing in this series. The even strength situation, the Blues completely outplayed you. It was almost like you were hoping for power plays. You needed the refs to call it tightly for you to have the opportunity to deliver and the opportunity to score. You needed power play situations, because it seemed like, for whatever reason, when it was even strength, the Blues were just the significantly better team. That was the reality of what happened in this series. When it came to even strength situations, the Blues were better. And nobody thought that heading into the series, that that would be the case. And Ryan O'Reilly was the best player in the series. That's the reality of this. You look at Marchand, little impact on the series. In fact, tonight, it was a negative impact. Couldn't put it away on the power play, where their guy, when they needed a play, O'Reilly put it in the back of the net. Pietrangelo put it in the back of the net. When you needed your guy to make a play, he couldn't do it, and then we all know what happened on the line change at the end of the period. You put that completely on Marchand. I mean, you're looking for a line change there. Come on. Like, you got to stay on the ice for the final 10 seconds of the period. This is the same guy that gave the speech before the series about letting this get away. Now you look at Marchand. 2013 was not good, and he was not good in this series. In fact, he was bad in this series. Bergeron, same thing. Bergeron did not show up, and I know eventually we're going to find out that something was going on with Bergeron from a health perspective, but it seems like at this point in the season, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, everybody's going through something. You look at Tuukka, too. The guy played so great throughout this postseason. I mean, in that Carolina series, that guy was completely dialed in. He had a great Game 6 in this series. In the Carolina series, there were games in that series where I don't even think he saw the puck. I mean, the save he made on Justin Williams in that Game 4, I don't even think he saw the puck. And then tonight, maybe the Pietrangelo goal. That's the only one you look at. But Tuukka Rask was all set up to be talked about with the Tim Thomas 2011 run, Tom Brady 2014, 2016, the double comeback year, the Jacksonville comeback, and, of course, 28-3 against the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. You look at it from the perspective Ortiz in 2013, where he has the outstanding World Series. He hits the grand slam against the Tigers in the ALCS, like that run. Tuukka was going to be in that discussion, if you will, and now it's all for nothing. I mean, you think about some of the things this team went through in this series. Zdeno Chara coming back from the jaw injury. Nobody's going to remember that. Nobody's going to remember that because they lost the series. Remember, everybody's talking about this speech that Bergeron gave before Game 6. He fired everybody up. Nobody's going to remember that because Bergeron sucked in the series. They win that. That speech is immortalized. Everybody remembers that speech, right? But they didn't. And everybody remembers Chara coming back from the injury, but they didn't win. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Mikey's in Newburyport. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you got, man?
Well, you know, it's just a little ridiculous, don't you think? You guys were already talking about how you want to blow up the team. I mean, championship after championship.
Well, hold on, Mike. Hold on one second, Mike. I never said I wanted to blow up the team. I just said I think this may be the last opportunity for this team if you look at the roster, right?
You've got the other caller calling in. What is it? He said he wants more Canadian and North American players.
Yeah.
He's wanting more players from Eastern Europe. I mean, not for nothing. A day's going to come when there's no more championships, and it's going to be like Minnesota or some other town around here where you win one every 15 years between all the four major sports, and people are going to be wishing they could get a fraction back of what this city's had for the last 20 years. It's a little ridiculous. This other guy crying and calling up, saying to go to, and then you got the guy from Idaho talking about his home ice. He lives on the other side of the country. He says, this is one of my worst days of my life. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was exaggerating, Mike. You know, I don't think he literally meant it was one of the worst days of his life. I think he was exaggerating. You know, people get emotional after games. I don't think it was literally one of the worst days of his life.
I certainly hope not, because a day's going to come when it's all going to come to an end.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Mike, and that may be coming sooner rather than later. I mean, the Celtics are a mess right now. You look at the Red Sox, they're having a horrible season. You look at the Patriots, Brady's 42, and outside of Edelman, who do they really have in terms of legitimate receiving options? I get they've been great through the years, and they always seem to figure it out, but you may be right. I look at this team, and I'm just looking at the core, right? You look at the first-line center, the second-line center. You look at Bergeron. You look at Krejci. They're getting up there in age. Bergeron is going to be 34, next month. You look at Krejci. He's 33 years old, and Krejci was non-existent in this series as well. Krejci had 1 point in the entire series. Krejci was essentially invisible in this series. You got O'Reilly on the other side doing all his stuff. You got Tarasenko doing his stuff. And Krejci, Bergeron, Marchand, nowhere to be found whatsoever in this series. But I look at it, you look at some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference, and you think, yeah, maybe the window is shutting. Because you think about Toronto, and I understand Toronto chokes all the time, but they got a lot of good young players. And you have Matthews, Mitch Marner, I understand, restricted free agent. They got to do salary cap gymnastics to make sure they keep him. The Lightning with Braden Point is young. Kucherov, who's got to win the Hart Trophy, he's a young player. You also factor in Stamkos is 29. He's younger than your guys up front, right? So that Lightning team isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Even like the group in Pittsburgh there, they're younger than you are. They're younger than you are up front. So I just don't see this as them. They're going to be right back next year. Like, I just don't see it in the foreseeable future based on all the other teams in the Eastern Conference right now. This was your opportunity. This was your year, and you blew it. Everything set up perfectly for you. You had henchmen, essentially. You had teams taking out Washington and taking out Tampa. They paved the way for you, and you had a chance to beat the Blues, and you lost three times on your own home ice. I mean, really, it's not really defensible from the Bruins' perspective. You need to at least win one of those games on your home ice. Plenty of opportunities to do it, and you couldn't do it. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Tom. He's in a car. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good. What do you got, man?
I thought the first period epitomized the whole series. I thought that the Bruins had a great period, could not put the puck on the net. And I think, the tip in goal and the last goal make it 2-0. I thought that, I thought he, as good as he played in the other series, I thought he was inconsistent in this series. And I thought he let up a couple soft goals. And I think that second goal in the first period, basically that was it. I think it was over. I also think that, St. Louis is much more physical than the Bruins, and
those
were terrible in the long end. I thought there was times when the puck was in the Bruins' end for 2-3 minutes on time, and I just think that like you said, I think that a lot of times when you win a championship, lucky things need to happen, and everything fell into place for these guys as far as other teams losing, and they had home ice, and they were 1-3 on the home ice. I just think it was a blown opportunity. I think the core of the team is still there. I think they'll still get opportunities, but you're right. I don't think they're going to go much farther than maybe the semifinals or the conference final. I think that they blew this opportunity, and I think that you got to put some blame on Tuukka, and you got to put blame on the first line. I mean, a lot of these games come down to Stanley Cup and down to one goal, and the first line did nothing, and the St. Louis Blues had timely scoring when they needed it. And you're right. Every time they get up, they won the game.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Tom. You can grab his line if you'd like to at 617-779-7937. At some point, they get to pick up Tuukka, though, right? Like, at some point in that first period, you got to bury one to give Tuukka a lead, because Tuukka had been carrying you throughout this postseason run. I mean, you're not in a Game 7 if it isn't for the job that Tuukka did in Game 6, the job that Tuukka did really throughout this series. The first line didn't show up whatsoever throughout this series. I mean, they're negatives in the series. They are negatives in the series. Bergeron's a -4. Bergeron was not great in the series. You look at it from Marchand's perspective. We all know what happened with him tonight. Opportunity to score and has the brain fart, if you will, on the line change. So you can't really look at Marchand and say he had a great series. I mean, who really played well for the Bruins in this series? Who played well outside of Tuca? Krug had a pretty good series. But other than that, who do you really point to and say they really played well in this series? I just don't see it. And, you know, you look at the first goal, too. Carlo gets out-muscled and gets out-physicaled, gets knocked off the puck, and that's what sets everything up. That's what starts everything for the Blues. And that's how they've been scoring goals throughout this series on you. And O'Reilly gets to the front of the net. That's another thing. The Bruins with Bennington, they never were able to get to the front of the net because what happened? The Blues defensemen were too damn big, too damn strong. They would knock you away, and you weren't able to screen Bennington, if you will, like the Blues were able to do that to Tuukka Rask on that goal that O'Reilly was able to deflect. 617-779-7937 is the number. Steve is in Miami tonight. What's up, Steve? Hey, Steve.
How are you tonight?
Good. What do you got, man?
First of all, I agree with you and some of the other callers. They lost. They didn't lose tonight. They lost during the entire series.
Yeah.
To only win one game at your home ice, that's not good. I mean, there's no way that you're going to win a series when you can only win one game. You've got home ice. You should have been taking care of it, and you didn't. And that's where I think they lost it. Yes, the front line didn't do anything, but when you can't win on your home ice and you let the other team come in and bully you, they made me think of, you sound like you're younger, and you may not remember the big bad Bruins, but they made me think, the Blues made me think of the big bad Bruins because they would knock people off the puck. They were physical, and there was no physicality with the Bruins tonight. They were wimps, in a sense, in their own home ice. And that's where I think they really lost it. But I will say this. Even after losing it, this is not the worst, to me, this is not the worst loss of all the playoff teams. I still go back to the catch on the helmet.
Yeah,
07. When the Patriots could have had a perfect game, a perfect season, and I could have listened, could have shut off all these Dolphin fans. Oh, we had a perfect season. So, I mean, that to me still is the worst thing. I mean, Mercury Morris is all the, you know, imagine a few bounces here and there for football, hockey, and all that. We could have around 15 championships. But you know what? In New England, in Boston, I got to say this. You know how many cities, how many states wish they could have one? And I am still thrilled that my region, my home city, even though I'm down here, we are so well represented, and I have to be happy. And I must say, I've been sweating all day because I have Patriots shirts, I have Red Sox shirts, I have Celtics shirts. I only have a Bruins cap and a Bruins hoodie. Imagine wearing a Bruins hoodie down here in 90 degrees. But I did it for my Bruins, and it didn't work out.
That sucks, Steve. That sucks. You wore the Bruins sweatshirt, and they couldn't bail you out. I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. I don't think most people would debate that the 07 Patriots loss is the worst. Now, I don't go back to the 86 World Series, okay? And look, the Red Sox had won after that. But, I mean, 07, I get the Patriots won after 07, of course. They've won three since then. But 07 is, you're the best team ever, and it's not even an argument. You're the best team in the history of the sport. That's not the same thing with the Bruins tonight. But the problem with the Bruins is this. You lose three times on your home ice, and everything's set up perfectly for you. This was your opportunity to cash in, and it feels like this may have been the last opportunity. And then, if you win this one, you're mentioned with the Kings of the decade that won a pair of Stanley Cups. Now, you're not quite the Blackhawks, but you're up there with the Penguins as well, and it just seems like 1-2 in Stanley Cup final opportunities weren't able to cash in. And this one, to me, is worse than the Blackhawks because I get how the Blackhawks one went down. Like, that game six loss was excruciating because you have the final two goals there in the final, minute and a half of the game, 17 seconds apart. But you still would have had to go to Chicago and beat what is the team of the decade. So it's not like you were guaranteed to win the Stanley Cup. You go to Chicago, you still got to deal with Kane and Taves and that group of guys. This one tonight, though, this is a series heading into it that you were favored in. And this is a series that you look at and you can point to significant issues with the team and things that you did not think were going to be issues, right? The fact that your perfection line turned into essentially a liability for you throughout the series. It wasn't that they didn't perform well in terms of scoring or anything along those lines. Like, that's obviously an issue, but the bigger issue is this. They were outplayed, and for a bulk of the series, it became a liability for you with those guys on the ice. That's the thing that I never saw coming whatsoever. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. We'll chat with Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show in just a little bit. He was at the game tonight, so we'll get his thoughts. Of course, host the Sunday Skate as well. Before we do any of that, though, we'll get you trending right here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Well, we obviously knew what the score was, but we also knew what we have in this room. We've been through a lot this year, and like I said, we believe no matter what the score was. We believe when it was 3-0, with 8 minutes left, we still believed. Guys wanted it really bad. But it's just, I guess it just wasn't our night tonight.
All right, that's David Krejci after the game. Yeah, it wasn't really his series. He did not play well at all. I mean, he had little impact on the series whatsoever. And I look at it as he said that when they were down 3-0, they still believed they could win. Maybe they do truly believe that, but it was deflating. The air was let out of the balloon, if you will, after that first period. And you could tell just by the behavior of the team. Like, the second period was not the same team that we saw at the beginning, the first 15 minutes or so of the game. It wasn't the same team whatsoever. So clearly, that goal at the end of the period by Pietrangelo and the mishap, the mistake by Brad Marchand, that clearly had an impact on the game. That clearly had an impact on the morale of the team. Because you go in 1-0, maybe Tuukka makes a great save at the end of the period there. You're feeling okay down 1-0, but down 2-0 against that team, you're feeling awful. And another thing we said going into this game, the officiating was more important for the Bruins than it was the Blues, right? You think about it. The Bruins were a team that, at even strength situations, they were not matching up well with this Blues team. So you knew that one of the things they needed to do was they needed to get onto the power play. And in this game, they got on the power play once. That's it. And it was on a delay of game penalty, right? It wasn't even like anything you did in terms of the pressure you were putting on them to force a trip or something along those lines. It wasn't that. It was a delay of game penalty. So you only had one opportunity to get your power play unit on there, which was your best opportunity, obviously, to score goals in the series. You needed your power play. You were depending on your power play. And that unit was only out on the ice once. And you had a chance on the power play. Brad Marchand had his opportunity. And then later on in that power play, I mean, my God, David Pastrnak throughout this series, just inexplicable, the inability to handle the puck. Gets the zone, and then once he gets the zone, he gets it taken away from him. I mean, the giveaway in that particular scenario is just horrible. It's indefensible by David Pastrnak. And look, I understand a lot of people tonight have been weighing in on the roster and the issues with the roster. Here's my thing with that. In terms of the way that they've built this team, I don't look at it as there was issues with the roster. That's why you lost to the Blues. I don't see that whatsoever. You were one win away on your home ice. You finished second in the Eastern Conference from winning the Stanley Cup, too. Like, you're second in the East all year. You had the second-best team in the NHL all season long. Like, from my perspective, I thought that the Calgary Flames were fraud. So you were that good all season long, right? You were that good. Now, going forward, I just look at it as the window's probably shut. Krejci's getting older. Bergeron is getting older. I just see it as the window appears to be shut with this team. I don't think an issue was with the roster this year. You wanted to upgrade in terms of you needed a defenseman that could move the puck, and you see McAvoy, he was able to do it, and guys like Grizzlick and Carlo. Like, I believe that they did an unbelievable job rebuilding on the fly around the core group of guys with this Bruins team. I certainly believe that to be the case. So I don't think this is an indictment on the roster. The Blues out-muscled you in the series, but I didn't see it as, like, this is a huge issue with the roster. Now, going forward, I would be concerned about this team in terms of where they rank in the Eastern Conference with an aging roster. Like, that certainly is an issue going forward, but I didn't see that as the roster was the issue in the series. I just thought you got out-tough by the Blues, and your top guys, quite frankly, didn't deliver when you needed them to deliver. All right, Ken Laird, who was at the game tonight, of course, from the Mutt and Callahan Show, hosts the Sunday Skate as well. He's with us now. Ken, thanks for taking some time, man. What a tough one.
Tough one indeed, Brian. What's going on tonight?
Oh, man. I mean, we're sorting through the rubble here. So the end of the first period, Brad Marchand, they're looking for a line change, and Petrangelo goes in and he scores. I mean, what did you make of that?
Pretty bizarre. I mean, Marchand was asked about it on two occasions in his scrum. I don't know if you guys got a chance to play the post-game audio, but he was pretty vague. You know, he kept referencing he thought their guy was one-on-one. Basically, the way I saw it, and I didn't get a chance to see a good replay, Pastrnak dropped it to the blue line in the attacking zone and expected Marchand to be there. Marchand either felt like that was never going to happen or he was just so out of gas he had to take a chance. But with 16 seconds left when he's heading to the bench, it just doesn't make any sense. And then he obviously realized his mistake as the play was coming his way. And even then, I think he was indecisive and tried to, you know, make a weak effort to put a hip check on a guy at a blue line. So bottom line, it was a disaster. It was, it's as bad of a play in a big game as we've seen from a star recently. And Marchand had an unbelievable 100-point season. But, you know, not only in this game, he and his line mates were shut down for the most part of the series. It was the story of the series.
Yeah, Ken, it also felt like to me, it felt similar to Game 5, where it looked like you put all the pressure on the Blues early on in the game, and you didn't come away with anything in the first period. Now, this was worse because they scored two goals at the end of the period. It felt like to me, once the Blues got that 2-0 lead, that the game was over, and I didn't feel like the Bruins responded well in the second period. What did you make of the Bruins' response after those two goals?
I think they were fighting a lot of things there. You know, you're in a game seven where the refs are clearly not calling anything, so you know you're not going to get any help there. And there were a couple occasions in the third where there were some calls that could have been made. McAvoy got mugged in front of the net and no call. But you know, the ice was not good. It's not an excuse, but for a team that's a little more skilled than St. Louis was, it was choppy out there. St. Louis is a great team with a lead. You know, they kept everything to the outside, especially in their own zone. They're just so big on the back end. It's really tough to get anybody in front of Binnington, who was obviously on tonight. And, you know, you start having to take chances and, you know, it could get ugly by the end and you give up a few other ones. So I saw it 10 years ago, covering the Penguins. That was almost the same, recipe in Detroit. They went on the road and won a 2-1 game and they got a lead early, and that is so killer in a game seven. You get that first goal and even a 2-0 lead, you can really put the clamps down, and St. Louis did just that.
Ken Laird from Mutt and Callahan and the Sunday Skate, of course, is with us here. All right, you mentioned the ice, and that was something that was talked about earlier on in the postseason. Brad Marchand even referenced the fact of the ice surface was not great. Why does that continue to be an issue for this team?
It's a great question. I mean, it's your own building. You should be able to control that. This is obviously, historically been the old garden for sure. I mean, I saw going back 35 years to the last game seven in Boston. I was watching some of those highlights of the Bird Magic series. And it was like 91 degrees in there, but obviously that's hoops. This is hockey. And, the weather obviously is warmer this time of year, but that's something the Jacobs family has to take a good hard look at, because, especially if you want to be a more skilled team, you've got to play to that advantage. I didn't hear any of the players, you know, really use that as an excuse tonight, nor should it really be used as one, but it didn't help. Let's put it that way.
Ken, the headline coming out of this series is going to be that Marchand didn't play well. And of course we know what happened tonight. Bergeron did not have a great series. Krejci did not have a great series. So why were the stars of the Bruins never really able to find any sort of groove offensively in the series? Was it just the Blues defense was that great, or is part of it is they just didn't live up to expectations?
Well, injuries could be a factor. You know, that always sounds like excuse making as well. Bergeron said he had a banged up groin. He told some reporters that after the game. Marchand was never asked about his hand. There was a report that he was playing with a broken up hand, but that may have been erroneous. But I think when it comes down to it, you've got to give the Blues credit. This is what they've done for four straight series. They beat a Winnipeg team that had a tremendous top line. They took out the Dallas Stars top line of Tyler Seguin. And in the last round, they did some similar things to Logan Couture, who was one of the top scorers in the playoffs at that time. So Parayko and Bomeister on the back end are so tough. And they matched up either their top line with Shen or the fourth line, which when they didn't have guys suspended, when Sundqvist and Barbashev were healthy, they were able to use either the first or the fourth line and at least neutralize Marchand and Bergeron and just funnel things to the outside. Parayko, if not for O'Reilly, he would have been my Conn Smythe winner. Colton Parayko was a big story, not only his relationship with Layla, the cancer patient there. Mm-hmm. That was something to see, but he's a star. He's becoming a star. And, you know, this was a series without a whole lot of stars, but the Blues had a good mix of physicality. They have some skill, and Binnington obviously bounced back in a big way tonight.
Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show, Sunday Skate as well, is with us here on WEI. Okay, so you mentioned Ryan O'Reilly. He has 8 points in the series. He has 5 goals. He has another goal tonight on the deflection. Why were the Bruins unable to stop him at all during the series?
He's good. I mean, he was the best player in the series, best forward in the series, to be sure. I give myself a pat on the back. We had a podcast before the series began, and I said that he's going to define the series one way or the other, and he scored goals in each of the last four games, pretty big goals. He seems like he's always in the right place. Even that goal he tipped in, there's a defender on him, but he's able to get a stick on it. And if you rewind that a little bit, that whole sequence started because Nolan Chara got bumped off the puck. It was kind of a hybrid line for St. Louis, but Sammy Blais gave him the business in the Bruins zone, and they were scrambling from there, and that's where O'Reilly knows right where to go. So smart, he goes right to the front of the net and gets a stick on that. He really changed the series because, as good as their top line was at times with Tarasenko, the O'Reilly line was better. He scored so many big goals for them when they needed it, and I thought he deserved the Conn Smythe for sure.
All right, Ken, now pushing this thing forward, you look at Bergeron's going to be 34, I believe, next month. You look at Krejci's 33. We all know that Char is at 42 now, and I get you have some nice young defensemen and whatnot, but does it feel like the window is starting to close for this Bruins roster, or do you feel positive about it going forward?
You know, I feel like they're going to be in contention and be good, but as far as the opportunity they left on the table, I mean, they're just not going to be years like this where Tampa gets whacked in the first round. Your division's tough. Florida's going to be better. They hired Joel Quenneville down there, and Buffalo's going to improve. Well, we keep saying that every year, but eventually the Sabres are going to put a few things together with all their high picks. So that's tough. I think the Bruins have a good, as you say, young group. Charlie McAvoy's at the head of that list. They've got Vaakanainen coming, another good young defenseman. But obviously you can see Chara getting old, and I'd be surprised if he does play the whole year next year. I wouldn't be surprised if he does decide to retire. I know they've already agreed to a contract, and that would, create a degree of financial wiggling. I guess if he retires, he doesn't get the money, but I don't see them back in this form. Even David Krejci, who had a tremendous year above expectations, they went after John Tavares in the offseason last year, and I think they were going to move on from Krejci. So
yeah,
they have some tough decisions to make, and Torrey Krug's in the last year of his contract. He's going to need a whopper of a deal if they want to keep him, so they have a real crossroads with Krug, who was unbelievable. I for a while there, I thought he would have been the Bruins Conn Smythe winner. He played so sound on the back end, in addition to what he brings you offensively. So they have some choices to make for sure, and a couple of buyouts. I'm sure they'd, consider David Backes, although they don't get much savings there. They're going to be in the mix, but I would say to expect them back in the Cup final next year, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, and you mentioned Char. Ken, that would have been so cool if Char went off. He could have just retired after this one, go out on top with coming back from the jaw injury. That would have been like the perfect story for him to retire. He's made like over $80 million in NHL money, so it would have been perfect, and it's all for naught. It kind of sucks to see Char go out that way.
Yeah, and, to watch him, he was a big leader for this team. They have a bunch of them in there, but to see all those guys so devastated at the back end, you're going to look back on his career and think of the two losses as much maybe as the one win. They let two of them get away. They had a 2-1 lead in the Hawks series in 2013. I know most people think Chicago was the clear better team when all was said and done, but same difference here. You had a 2-1 lead, and you lost three home games, which is stunning. Although St. Louis is a great road team, but you lose three games at the Garden in the Cup Final. That feels like you let one get away. And obviously Chara played through the broken jaw and had the emotional comeback in Game 5, but that was a game they couldn't win. And the officials played a role in that, so there'll be a little bit of an asterisk there. But for the most part, I feel like people think St. Louis was the better team tonight, and they won it fair and square when all was done.
All right, that's Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show, Sunday Skate as well. Ken, thank you so much for joining us, man. Appreciate it. Get like an hour of sleep or something before you got to be back in here.
See you in a couple hours, Brian.
All right, that's Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show. Some good stuff there. Yeah, that would have been the storybook ending for Chara. Now, maybe he still ends up retiring, but it would have been the storybook ending to see Chara go off tonight, hoisting the Stanley Cup after everything he came back from, right? The jaw injury, nobody thought he was going to be back. Remember, people thought that he was done for the series. That was a big talking point. Everybody thought he was done. He comes back, and if they were able to win this, then that storyline with the jaw injury coming back, that storyline's still alive. Now, we'll remember it, but not like we would have remembered if they actually win the Cup. That would have been like the perfect opportunity. That's the John Elway scenario where John Elway decides to retire at the end of his career. I'm not going to compare it to Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning couldn't throw the ball at the end of his career, but it's that John Elway-like moment where you go out on top. Ray Lewis, for example, with Baltimore, goes out on top. Like, you had that opportunity if you were Chara. And tonight, quite frankly, this team did not show up. All right, a lot more to get into if you want to hop on board here. How devastated are you by the Bruins' loss? Who are you blaming for this one? 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next about hour and 15 minutes or so right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Did you see them coming in the zone at that point? Or?
Yeah, I thought that guy was by himself. Obviously, it wasn't.
Never get over this. Over 13 at certain point now. That's something you ever forget.
All right, well, that's Brad Marchand after the game. Didn't really answer the question about what happened on that line change, if you will. What happened was Alex Pietrangelo just skated right past me, kind of waved at him, and he needed to get off the ice, apparently. He was exhausted. You could tell he was exhausted. But again, there's 10 seconds left in the period. You got to stay on the ice. He talked about the fact that this is like 2013 all over again. And now you really start to think of it from Brad Marchand's angle. So 13, he doesn't score a single point, doesn't have a single point in that series against the Blackhawks, a series that you still almost had an opportunity to go to a game 7 if it isn't for that final 90 seconds, if you will, 17 seconds in between the two goals. So it didn't really cost you in that series, although you weren't able to overcome the Blackhawks, but nobody really brings up the fact that Marchand wasn't good in that series. And then you look at this series, Marchand was not good. He did not have a positive impact on the series. I get it, Grady had a 5-on-3 goal. Congratulations, you had a goal on 5-on-3. Then you had an empty netter in game 1. That's really the impact he had on the series. Tonight's impact was a bad one. You think about, of course, the line change, and then on the power play, you had an opportunity to bury it. And you look on the other side. I understand not everybody's going to score that goal, but you look on the other side. When they needed their guys to come through, O'Reilly did. O'Reilly made a big critical play to get the scoring going for the Blues tonight. How many times in this series did O'Reilly make a play that impacted the game? I never felt the presence of Marchand in this series. I never felt the presence of Bergeron in this series. And you heard Ken Laird talk about the fact that Bergeron said after the game to a couple of reporters he's dealing with a groin injury. I'm sympathetic to that, but again, he's on the ice. Marchand, we heard about the hand injury then when they had that stupid scrimmage. If it's really a significant hand injury and it happened at that scrimmage, I mean, what a terrible look for the organization if that actually ends up being the truth. But both those guys, neither one of them had an impact on this series. Same thing with David Krejci, who Krejci had a good year. Krejci had a nice season, but in this series, non-existent whatsoever. And you look at it on the other side, what the guys on the Blues were able to do, O'Reilly and their stars on the back end, right? Pietrangelo was incredible. Colton Parayko was great. Marchand could do nothing against Parayko. So the way they built their team through their defense, they were able to basically have a huge impact on this series, shut down the first line of the Bruins, because every time Marchand looked up, he was looking at Colton Parayko or Alex Pietrangelo, and quite frankly, he could not figure those guys out whatsoever. But now you really think about it from the Marchand perspective, and I get they won a cup with him in 2011, and he had two goals and he had an assist in that game seven, and he was great in that game seven. But you really start to think about it tonight, that line change, that was a Wes Welker-like moment. Wes Welker dropping the pass that would have iced the game against the Giants in that second Super Bowl. That was a Wes Welker-like moment. I mean, that is just a brain cramp by Brad Marchand. That cannot happen. That's an indefensible mistake by Marchand in that particular scenario. I know he's trying to tiptoe around the question tonight, but that's something that we're always going to remember going forward. I get it. He won the Cup in 2011 as a young player. But again, we're going to remember 2013 didn't score a point. And then in this series in particular, he makes that mistake. And also when he had a chance to put his team up 1-0 early in the game, he couldn't capitalize on the opportunity and bury that puck. When Binnington was out of position, you had a quick opportunity. First of all, he didn't get the puck off quick enough. And second of all, he had half the net open and he was not able to convert in that particular scenario. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Bobby's in Canton. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you got, man?
Good. Well, first off, big and physical is alive and well still in the NHL, especially in the playoffs. Just simply put, the Bruins 5-on-5 were out-muscled, out-physical, and basically outplayed. They won games in this series because of power plays.
Yeah.
You knew that there was not going to be any penalties called unless they were blatantly obvious tonight in this game. Defensively, we have too many small guys. I don't mind carrying one, but not three. And I want to see a change there.
Yeah, but Bob, don't you remember back to a couple of years ago when everybody's complaint about the Bruins was the defense was too big and not moving the puck enough? Like, that used to be the complaint with the Bruins. It used to be the opposite.
Yes, but you know what? St. Louis has big guys, and they can move the puck, okay? Carlo can move the puck.
Yeah.
McAvoy can move the puck, okay? You still need big guys to defend out in front, and we just don't
see. Bob, here's my issue with that, though. Bob, I understand your point, I understand what you're saying, but here's my issue with that. I feel like the bigger issue for the Bruins was the guys up front. I don't feel like the defense was an issue for you, and I felt like Krug had a really good series, McAvoy had his moments. Like, I really don't put this on the defensive side of things for the Bruins. I look more at the guys up front unable to do anything in terms of the Bergerons, the Marchands, the Pasternaks. I thought the bigger issue was your forwards up front were not able to do anything against the Blues defense. That's where I look at where the series was lost. I don't think your defense was an issue. I don't think Krug was an issue. I don't think that McAvoy was an issue. I don't think Carlo was an issue. I don't think Chara was an issue. I don't look on that side. Even Moore, I don't think Moore was an issue. I think it was on the other side of things.
I agree about the forwards, but I wouldn't say that Krug had a great series. He was invisible after game three, and he only played well on the, you know, on the power play. The guy just can't defend, plain and simple. He's at the, I think going forward, he's going to be someone they look at trading because he makes too much money and he's at on the last year of his contract.
Yeah.
Well, but that's something to talk about.
The roster's going to look different. Yeah. You're right about that.
They would just beat physically and, you know, the better team won.
Yeah, I don't dispute that, Bob, and I appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. I don't dispute that. I don't dispute that they were out-physical, they were outworked. I certainly agree with all that, but I don't believe that the roster construction of this team, like, I don't look at it as to say there's a glaring issue with the roster. Now, I think the roster is about to age out. Krejci's getting older. Bergeron's getting older. Char is getting older. Heck, he may retire after the season. Who knows what's going to happen in terms of what Char's decision-making process is going to be like. So I believe your roster is not great going forward because of the fact you got all these other teams in the East, the Lightning of the world, the even a team like the Blue Jackets with a young guy like Seth Jones, that team's pretty good going forward, right? With the Lightning, you got Point and you got Kucherov and Stamkos is only 29 years old, right? Even like the Pittsburgh guys, they're younger than your core group, right? Like Crosby, et cetera. So when you just look at it in terms of going forward with this Bruins team, even the Leafs, right? I understand they got a big thing to do with Marner. If they want to keep him, it's going to take a lot in terms of salary cap gymnastics and whatnot. But you have Auston Matthews there. I just think this is the perfect window for your team to win. Now, going forward, there's issues with the roster, but I don't think the roster construction this year, I don't think that was an issue. You got to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. You were one win away. You had plenty of opportunities to win the series, and you weren't able to deliver. I don't think this had anything to do with the roster construction. In fact, I thought the construction of the roster was great. I really did, because for so many years, we're talking about they needed guys that could move the puck defensively, and now they have those guys. The Krugs of the world, the McAvoys of the world, the Carlos of the world, and Carlo's really a combination of the two. Big guy in terms of the size, and he can move the puck. So I don't think it was the construction of the roster that did the Bruins in. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on how the Bruins lost tonight, who's the biggest person to blame, group to blame, whatever you want to do here, if you want to vent as your Bruins go down at TD Bank Garden tonight to the St. Louis Blues, the third time they lost at home in the Stanley Cup Final. 617-779-7937 is your number. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.